This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
I'd like you to listen to these words. I want to take you back to the time of the cross, and I want you to listen to these words as someone will recite them for you right now.
And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man.
Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was hung upon a cross. A lot of people get into the view of a sentimentality of his words on the cross, but in actual fact, the very words that Jesus was speaking was a proclamation for all of us to understand and to know the very heart that God has for us. The second to last statement that Jesus makes upon the cross is found in the book of John, where he said, he cries out with a loud voice, and he's actually speaking to the Father, and he says, Father, it's finished. It's finished. And what he was saying was the old order, the old economy of people trying to find God through multiple sacrifices. People trying to find God that were hungry for God had to go through a ritual of priests and sacrifices. And Jesus on that cross declared and he said, it's over. Never again will mankind have to go through this kind of ritual of festivities of days and months and festivals and sacrifices and priests. Never again. So Jesus on the cross, he makes that profound statement. He says, it's over, it's finished. He's also making a statement that he had fulfilled all righteousness or all required righteousness that God wanted or needed out of mankind. Jesus fulfilled it. And he said, it's finished. Father, I've done it. I've done it for all of mankind. It's completed. It's done. Never again will they have to go this route. I've done it for them. He also said, when he said it was finished, he said basically that the new covenant was enacted at that point in time. He says it's finished. I've made a covenant with my Father so that people wanting to come to God can come to this new covenant in a childlike faith of accepting God, and God would receive them. And then he makes this next statement that you heard, that I had somebody read the scriptures for me. He made the statement. He said, Father. Now, this is not a man of desperation in the last moments of time and life that he's making the statement. No, no. This is Jesus Christ giving us an example of how every human being from that time onwards, from the very moment that he'd made this declaration, that every human being could come to God on the same basis that Jesus was about to proclaim. He taught us how to pray. He said, when you pray, say, Father, who art in heaven. And so here Jesus is actually on the cross, and it is a prayer of faith that he is making. It's not a statement of desperation, like I've already said. This is actually a man who is God telling us this is the simplicity that a person can come to God. He said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. When you take a look at the original language, what he was saying is just simply this. He said, Father, I give to you the safekeeping of my life. I place it into your hand. You are able to keep my life. That's the simplicity that Jesus was saying. And he was making a declaration for every human being that would ever come to God, that if they were to say that simple prayer, if there's in their heart a desire to know God and to meet God, recognizing that they have a need, Jesus was saying, then this is the kind of prayer that God is now going to accept. God, I give you my life for safekeeping. I have no ability to keep it myself. I give it to you. And the Bible says God will accept that prayer. On that simple basis, Jesus made that declaration. You see, it's always been in the heart of God that it should be in simple childlike faith that we can come to Him. It's always been in His heart. It's never left Him. It's always been in the heart of God that somebody, like we heard Elder Bill say, if there's just a gut cry, that God would never turn a single human being away when there's a cry. God, I want to know You. I have a need for You. Never turn Him away. I think back in the Old Testament, you can see the pattern of this simplistic faith of coming to God all through the Bible. They just missed it. They just didn't see it. But there was a widow woman who was about to die. This poor widow woman in the Old Testament. All she had left to life. There was a severe drought. She had no means of sustaining herself at all. Nothing. She couldn't keep herself alive. She's a widow. She couldn't keep herself or her son alive any longer. She had no means. All she had left was when she put her hand in the bag of flour, she had a handful of flour. And in this cruse or this bottle of cooking oil, she had but a few drops. God saw her. God saw the plight of this woman. God saw her. He knew that what she was about to partake of was her last meal. God saw it. And He understood that. So He sent a prophet to her. Because God wanted to bring out of her a simple faith and trust in God that He would answer. And so this woman, this prophet Elijah, knocks on the door and he says to the lady, he says, "Ma'am, God has sent me and He wants you to give everything that you've got to Him. In other words, you're going to make the cake for me." But actually, it's like you were giving it to God. And God will become the supply of your life. What you could never do for yourself, God was going to do for you. He was going to do something in your life that you could never maintain or keep yourself. You see, it's the prayer of Jesus, "Father, into Your hand I commit for safekeeping my life." See, God wanted her to make that statement by her action. So she took that little handful of flour and that little oil and she mixed it up and she baked a cake and she gave it to the prophet. And the prophet ate it. But God, in return, that every time that lady put a hand into the flour basket or the flour sack, and she put a hand in, she took out flour. There was nothing there before, but she put a hand in, she took it out, and she made a cake. And her and her son ate. It came dinner time, and she put a hand it back in. There was more flour. And the more she took, the more it was there. It's that simple faith that God says, if you trust me with the safekeeping of your life, I will sustain you. Through the whole drought. Through the whole drought. This woman was kept by the power of Almighty God. It reminds me of the single mom who, when she was divorced very young, and she prayed for her daughter. And the single mom had spent many hours praying and praying for her daughter. Through all the troubled times of her teens, when this daughter was so rebellious and dabbled with drugs and got involved with sex and alcohol, all this time, the single mother just prayed and said, "God, this is all I've got. I give her to You. I give my life and my daughter, even though I can't see what is taking place in this girl's life. I give it to You, God." This girl disappointed her mother again and again. She had a child out of wedlock. She got into a hasty marriage that ended in divorce months later. Her life was chaotic. It was a mess. But God saw the cry of the single mother who in desperation said, God, I can't keep this child of mine. I can't do it. I give her to you for safekeeping. I give you my life. And in that moment of time when this young lady now who is divorced and has a child and has broken her mother's heart, in a moment of time, this girl came to a service and gave her life to Jesus Christ. Today she has a destiny. Today she has an opportunity to go on with life absolutely in the hand of Almighty God. I think of David when his whole family was devastated. He was on a campaign, and this is King David, and he comes back and with his men, and suddenly he finds that his family have been devastated, captivated. Devastated. The whole family. Wives have gone. Children have gone. Every possession has gone. Beloved, do you know how many families are like this here today? They come back from work. They come back from wherever they've been and they find that their home has been ravished by a devil who doesn't care about anybody. How many homes are like that today where the enemy has come in and made havoc? Even the men that David worked with wanted to stone him. So disappointed, so discouraged in their heart at him. And he just drew away. Folks, there are times that when, even in life today, no matter how well you do your best, how you provide, it seems like the devil just comes in one way and in another way. Gets in the family, gets in at the kids, gets on the finances, seems to devastate the home from every angle. It just seems like there's no end to this attack. Do you know that people are under such spiritual attack today? There's some of you who have come here to Times Square Church because it's Easter Sunday. It's the thing to do. You're probably drugged here by a family member. And those who smiled and laughed, you know it's true because that's why you're here. But you cannot escape the fact that your financial situation has been devastated. You're sitting here, you're not sure if you really want to even be here, but there's something that's gnawing at the inside of you. You have seen your home get devastated. Maybe you've even gone through an ugly divorce and you're so hurting and the pain is so deep. At the point of bankruptcy, the enemy has come in and devastated your home from every angle. You see, beloved, God understands the complexity and the problems that you've got yourself into, or the difficulties that may have just surprised you and taken you over, and your life has been devastated. See, God understands that. He knows the situation. David, all he did was he drew himself aside and he got alone with God. And he asked the Lord, he said, God, would you restore to my life these things that the enemy has come and taken? Will you give me the victory over these areas of compromise and weakness? Will you give me the power to overcome? God, would you go with me on this campaign? God, would you go ahead and would you bring a victory to me that I cannot get for myself? You see, beloved, that's where most of us have always lived. I remember being so deep and so low at the very bottom of the barrel. They sang a song today that was one of the songs that God just reached down. You see, God knows the very pain of every single heart when it's at the very bottom of the barrel. He knows and He sees it. And He's not asking us. He's not asking us to go through creeds and to go through rituals and sacrifices. He's not asking of that anymore. He already said on the cross, that is finished. It's over. And the way that you can come to God now, that you can find God, He's looking for you. He's touching your heart. And God says, the way you can come to me now is in a simple childlike faith. If as long as you recognize that there is a need in your heart, that you need God, then God gives you an opportunity that you can come to Him in a simple childlike faith, and He will accept that prayer. You know, it brings me to the story that I read now in Luke. Here is a centurion. The Bible talks about the centurion in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are four Gospels. This was termed in the Bible the four Gospels. And each in one of those Gospels, this centurion man, who is actually a captain. Now this centurion, it says that he was a captain, and as I did a little bit of research, it actually turns out that he was over the punishment, the distribution of punishment of criminals. That was his responsibility. You've got to understand that this man is far from home. He's a Roman captain. He's in the military. He's probably on a 2-year tour of Palestine. Probably doesn't want to be there. He wants to go back to Rome. Who knows how many of these scourgings. This is the man under his watchful eye. This was the man that knew how to administer the stripes on a person's back and bring that individual to an inch of their life. This is the man. He is going to watch over the crucifixion. He's crucified lots of people. This man would put people on the cross. It wasn't just a one-time thing. We have made the cross of Jesus Christ just a one-time thing because it was our Lord and Savior on the cross. But actually, Rome had perfected the art of putting people on that cross and causing them to go through untold agony and pain. It was a hardened man. This wasn't a soft man. You don't become a captain in the Roman legion by being soft and kind and nice and tender. This was a hardened man who wasn't turned by the pain and the blood of people. And yet he supervised the putting of this man, Jesus Christ, on the cross. To him, he was another man. To us, we see him as the Son of God. But to this Roman centurion, this captain, he was nothing more than another man who had been meted out a certain punishment, and now the end of that punishment was that he was to be placed on this cross. And so he put Christ on the cross. The cross was lifted up, and he stood. And during the time, now he wasn't permitted to leave. You can't leave your post. Roman soldiers were not allowed to leave their post. You could never leave your position under any circumstances. It was the law to be a Roman soldier. You stood your ground. Whether you died there or you lived there, you stood your ground. So he had to stand there until he knew for sure that death was going to come upon those that were on the crosses that day. So he was there. And the clouds began to rumble, and the earthquake took place. And Matthew says that they were startled, that even the soldiers were startled. This is the man that at the end is going to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. How does this hardened man, who doesn't want to be in this place, he doesn't want to be there. He wants to be back in Rome. But yet this is his responsibility. And here there's this man standing, presiding over this crucifixion this particular day, and strange things are going on. Clouds of darkness has come over the whole earth, and the rocks have been split, and there was a certain fearfulness that came upon the people as this began to take its course. But that's not what caused this man to proclaim that Jesus was Lord. What was it? What was it in this man? What did he see? Well, the book of Mark tells us that actually, Mark says it very clearly, that he stood opposite the cross, looking at Jesus on the cross. He stood opposite him. And as he fixed his view on Jesus, the Bible says that he watched and was amazed at how he died. He died so quickly. At the end of the day, they had to go and break the legs of the other two that were crucified on either side to hasten the asphyxiation so that they could die. But Jesus died so quickly. And it amazed the centurion as he stood and he watched this man Jesus and the communications that he was making. I have to ask myself the question, what was the transaction that this man saw that caused in his heart to say that this was truly the Son of God? What was the transaction that took place? It's simply this. Luke says it so clearly. And these are the scriptures that I read to you. As he's watching the Christ on the cross, he hears the simple statement. Now, before I make that statement again, you've got to understand that this man has seen powerless religion for a number of years. He's seen powerless religion. He's seen them walking with their censers in the smoke. He's seen all the regalia of these priests as they robed themselves and took the places of high society and made themselves known and walked around with pomp and ceremony. He saw all that and disgusted him. He wasn't moved by that. He saw powerless religion. Many prayers, sacrifices, smoke, and nothing happening. But I've got to tell you today, beloved, in every single human being, and this Roman soldier was not excluded, that in every human being that there is a capacity for God, you cannot escape it. In every human being that is born on the face of this earth, there is a capacity for God and is deep down in the soul of mankind. Oh, it's covered by the world. It's covered by the glitz and the gold and all the glitter of the world. Yes, it's covered by sin. But in every human being, and you might be here just feeling exactly like the same Roman soldier. I don't even want to be in this place. But you cannot escape, sir, and you cannot escape, ma'am, that deep down inside of you, God created a capacity for Him, and only He can fill that place and fill that void. So regardless of the external hardness of this Roman soldier, the toughness, the external hardness that has come by many beatings and blood that has been spilt over and over again and the cries of humankind doesn't deter him one second. Hard-hearted, tough exterior. And yet he looks at this man. And he looks at this man and he watches as he dies. And he hears Jesus say, "It's finished." And I often think, I wonder, what did he mean? It's finished. He's not a religious man. And then he hears Jesus say these words. And he's watching this man pray. To him he's just a man. To us he's God. But to this man he's just a man. Now listen to this, beloved. He watches a man pray. He says, "Father, into your hand I give you my life for safekeeping." And the moment Jesus made that proclamation, God accepted the prayer. The very second he prayed, this unseen God, this God that this man couldn't see, this God that he knew must have created the universe. He couldn't see this God, but he knew that no man could just will himself to die. But this man, there was something about that. This prayer, there must be a God in heaven that a man can pray a simple prayer of faith and God hears it. There's got to be a God in heaven. You see, this Roman soldier, this external hard-hearted Roman soldier saw for the very first time that there is a God in heaven who hears the cry. If he knew the scriptures of a woman who was about to die and knew the cries and the tears of that woman and met her need. He's the same God who saw David and saw his whole family ravished by a severe attack and God came to the need. He saw this young lady who was so wild and then God saved her life by the prayers of a mother. This is the same God that this soldier saw that cried out to, this man cries out to, this God that he can't see, but this God hears this prayer. This simple prayer that this man prays, God hears it. Beloved, Jesus was showing us that for the rest of this world, until He would come again, that for you to meet God and to come to God is going to be on the simplicity of your heart and your mouth saying, "Jesus, I give you my life for safekeeping." And as that man was convinced that God heard the prayer of faith, accepted it, and the life of Jesus was in the hand of God, he was convinced in his heart, there's a God in heaven. And he stood. You've got to understand, beloved, this isn't just a simple Roman soldier. This is now a man who raises his hand and he says, The Bible says he glorified God. The word glorified means to accept God in his character and person. That this hardened soldier, this man so hard to everything round about him, is softened and tender in a moment of time because he sees that there is a God who answers prayer. And he glorifies God, which also means he believed. He believed. And he glorified God. I can see him raising his hands and saying, "This man is truly the Son of God." He got a revelation from God that on a simple proclamation of faith, "Lord, I give you my life," God says, "Thank you, I'll receive it." Today, it's no more complicated than that. Today, if you know that you have a need, you know that you have a need, you've got a capacity for God, and God is the only one that can fill it, then today, if you have and you know that you have a need of God, and you want to make that simple cry of your heart, "Lord Jesus, I give you my life for safekeeping. I want to give you a guarantee that as God heard Jesus Christ on the day on the cross when he prayed that same prayer, God himself will hear your prayer and he will answer it. And there will be an exchange. Your life for the life of God. He'll take your life, but he'll give you his life. He'll take your weakness, he'll give you his strength. And it'll take place in a moment of time by a simple prayer of childlike faith in Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that you are speaking to so many hearts here today. Lord, there are so many hearts that are in desperate struggles in life. They've got this deep cry in their soul. And Lord, that cry comes from a heart that knows that the only answer to life is Jesus Christ. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you are going to touch many people today, that many people are going to say that same prayer that you prayed. And as your prayer was answered, so too their prayer will be answered today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to understand, God is not a man that he will lie. He won't lie. If he said it, he will do it. That's God. That's God. Oh, the devil's a liar, but not God. He said, if he said he'll do it, then he will do it. He'll do it today. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I have no doubt that that centurion was saved, because nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. And he proclaimed this truly was the Son of God. I have no doubt that that man was not converted at the cross that day. I want you to raise your hands, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer this afternoon, because you're going to believe it in your heart and with the confession of your mouth. Jesus Christ is going to save your life today. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today that I have a need for God. I am a sinner. I have sinned, and I know my sins too well. I confess them to you, and I proclaim today that I have a need for God to come into my life and give me the strength and the power to live that I do not have in myself. Lord Jesus, today I want to make the great exchange. I ask you to take my life. As you prayed and gave your life to the Father, I give you my life. Lord Jesus, here is my life. Take it today in safekeeping and lead me and guide me all the days of my life. Forgive me for all of my sins. Wash me clean as though I have no sin at all this day, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord Jesus, in this divine exchange, I've given you my life, but by faith, I receive you into my life. Lord Jesus, I invite you as Lord of my heart and of my life. Come and rule in my heart. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. And I make a proclamation. Jesus Christ is Son of God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And most of all, He lives in my heart. Today, I am a Christian. I am saved from hell and on my way to heaven. And I make a proclamation like that Roman soldier, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now give Him thanks. Hallelujah. The Bible says you are saved. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your sin has gone. You're on your way to heaven. The divine exchange has taken place. Jesus Christ is in your life today. You are a born-again believer.
This is the conclusion of the message.